Well, hello. It is good to be with you, especially this week as we celebrate the birth of our Lord. And as we have this time together with Him, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, for this time that we get to celebrate the season of the year. Father, when we remember, O God, the gift of your Son to be our Savior, Father, we are so thankful. And Lord, as we're here, Father, especially now, open our minds and our hearts, O Lord, to hear from you. Father, I ask, O God, Lord, that we would see you and know you better. Father, that not only will we be able to rejoice through this season, but, O Lord God, that it will cause us to grow in grace as we think about you and, Lord, allow you to draw us into yourself. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that you are enjoying this Christmas season, that you're looking forward to Christmas Day. I know with so many things happening and taking place, it's very easy for us to get distracted from the real reason for celebrating the birth of our Lord. And so I want us to take some time to this time together, whether you're watching this in the morning or the afternoon or evening, I want us to be able to take this opportunity, take a break from our Psalms study, and have this time to look at a passage, though it's probably very familiar to you, but you probably have never read it in the context of celebrating Christmas. And yet, when we read this passage, it becomes very obvious that it very powerfully, clearly summarizes the Christmas message. It's the story, again, you're probably very familiar, that we find in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, about Zacchaeus. The wee little man. You're probably very familiar. You could probably even sing the song. I'll spare you my lack of singing ability with it. But think with me as we look at Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, about how this tells us and reminds us of the message of Christmas. But again, Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. He, talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, which meant basically that he was a crook and was getting by with it. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham." And listen to verse 10 very carefully. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Again, probably very familiar to you. You've probably sung about Zacchaeus, the wee little man. But you probably have never really thought about it as the summary of the Christmas story, of the whole message of Christmas. And yet again, you think about that passage, about what took place there, and especially our Lord's words in verse 10. Because they very clearly express what we celebrate through this season. Again, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." As we look at that verse, what we see right off the bat is what you would call the who of Christmas. Christmas is about a person. It's not really about trees and decorations and gifts and get-togethers, though there's nothing wrong with those. I enjoy them. I hope that you do. I look forward to this time each year. I spend weeks, months, sometimes even years having a Christmas present lined up for someone. Nothing wrong with all that. I enjoy it. I hope that you thoroughly enjoy this time with family, with friends. But the real message of Christmas is a person. And notice how he refers to himself there. Again, it's our Lord speaking. "For the Son of Man." That was our Lord speaking of himself. It was actually his favorite reference of himself. It's an Old Testament term that when you study the passages clearly show a reference to the Messiah. And when you look at those passages, you see they can be fulfilled only by the Son of God. As Jesus himself would say in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Christmas is about him. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the eternal King, the only begotten Son of God. And as we go through this Christmas season, we need to remember the who of Christmas, that it is in fact about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do we see the who of Christmas when we look at verse 10, we also see the what of Christmas. If you think about what it says, still in verse 10, for the Son of Man has come. Now, obviously, any visitation of God is an awesome, incredible event. You think about those Old Testament characters who had those tremendous times of meeting with the Lord, where the Lord would appear to them. Whether it was Abraham, whether you think of Isaac or Jacob, whether you think of Moses, you think of any of those times, you think about Elijah, you think about any of them who have those tremendous times of meeting with God. Incredible experience. And yet this one is set apart even from those. This one is incredible beyond words. You think about what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write in Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 4. He said, but when the fullness of time came, that is when the time was perfect, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. You think about that incredible thought. God born. God, the eternal, everlasting God, no beginning, no end. No one made him. He is the creator of all. And yet God was born. God became man. I think about what is written in John chapter 1. In the beginning, and literally that means before there was the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. He already was. And the word there is the Logos. Is the truth, the ultimate reality, the source of all truth and reality, and it's the expression of all truth and reality. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In other words, two persons, and yet the Word was God, one God. And so we see here this wonderful eternal one, and yet what do we see when we're still in John 1 and we drop down to the very first part of verse 14, and the Word, who was with God and was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. An absolutely incredible thought. That's what we're celebrating. The who, the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, became man in every way by being born of a virgin. One of the Christmas traditions we have in our family is every year we go through a series of devotions by Adrian Rogers leading up to Christmas Day, although many times it takes us past Christmas because things happen and we don't get to do one on a particular night. And yet one of the key thoughts that he expressed when he was dealing with this topic of our Lord being the only begotten Son of God, Adrian Rogers pointed out the incredible thought that when our Savior was born, he was as old as his father and older than his mother. He was as old as his father, God the Father, his real father. He was eternal with him, but he was actually older than his mother. God became man. That is, in fact, the what of Christmas. What an incredible, awesome, mysterious event. No wonder it's worth celebrating. And so we see the who of Christmas. We see the what of Christmas. The Son of Man has come. But then we get to the why of Christmas. And look at the latter part of the verse. Again, the Son of Man has come. The who, the what. Listen to the why. To seek and to save that which was lost. Christ came to seek us. The reality is, we had not only wandered away from him, but we were in fact, each of us, you can say this about mankind in general, you can say this about each of us individually, not only were we separated from God, not only had we drifted away from God, but we were in fact actively running away from him. You think about what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, actually a quotation, but you think what is written there. As it is written, There is none righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they become useless. There's none who does good. There's not even one. And so we had sinned against God. We had drifted away from Him. And we, as a mankind in general, and each of us individually, were actively running away from Him just as hard and fast as we could. And yet in His mercy and grace, He came to seek us. He came to seek us sinners who are lost, helpless, and hopeless in our sins. But not only did He seek us, as we see there in Luke, He came to seek, and what else? To save that which was lost. He came to save us from our sins. And the Bible makes it very clear the only way that He could do that was to die upon the cross in our place for our sins and to rise again. The theological term, the biblical term we use, is to be the substitutionary sacrifice, the one who could stand in our place. You think of what we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, talking about God the Father, made Him, talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He made Him who knew no sin. He was absolutely sinless, perfect. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. He took every part of our sin, every ounce of our guilt, every transgression. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, what? That we might become the righteousness of God. You know, the sad, tragic, unfortunate truth is because of our sin and rebellion against God, we are all going to die unless the Lord comes for His church first. Everyone who is born dies. And yet our Lord is unique in the fact that He was born for the specific purpose of dying in our place and for our sins. He came seeking so that He could save, by dying and rising again, us from our sins, that which was lost, us, you and me. And you think about that verse again as we approach Christmas. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is why we celebrate. And what a reason we have to celebrate. What a wonderful Lord we have to worship and to celebrate. And let's go to Him in prayer again. Father, thank You. O Lord God, for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy for sinners like us. In spite of the fact, O God, that it was we who sinned against You, in spite of the fact that it was we who left You, in spite of the fact it was we who not just drifted but ran away from You, and in spite of the fact that we're actively running away from You until You, O God, stop us and bring us to Yourself. Father, You gave Your Son to seek and to save that which was lost by dying upon the cross for our sins. Father, You've already given the perfect Christmas present, and we thank You for Him. And, O Lord God, we worship You and celebrate Your wonderful gift of grace this season. And, Father, help us always to remember what this is about. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that you do have a wonderful celebration of Christmas. And I hope what makes it the best part of all is remembering why we celebrate our wonderful Lord. Merry Christmas.